Daniel 6, verse 27, page 1074. Daniel 6, verse 27, he saveth and delivereth. And then just Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, page 722, Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and let a willing spirit sustain me. Sometimes you come as preachers, you get a word, sometimes you don't, it seems. Sometimes I sit down after preaching and I think, I missed the point. So, if I have a point to make tonight, it's simply this, that God has a plan of salvation for men. And it's absolutely perfect. It doesn't fail. There's no exclusions. There's no doubt. There's no problem with it. There's nothing that needs adjusting. We were talking, some of us, about exciting things like drainage and new houses. I was hoping Connor wouldn't be here tonight because he'll probably frown and look glum at me, but he's not here. We live in a little village and it's all beautifully English, and there's a little duck pond and there's two pubs and there's a cricket green and it's all very lovely, but they're building houses all around it and joining us up with a town, and there's mass protests and there's men in tweed suits stomping their walking sticks on the ground and not happy or thrilled at all that this is going on. And sure enough, there's a village built down at the bottom of the road that we live on, and it's new houses and they're getting flooded. They haven't thought it through. Bottom of the hill, a new village. Lots of water rushing down the hill, flooding the new homes. Lots of unhappy buyers. And so it is. You look at everything. Look at the road structure. Look at the way they build more houses, but they don't think about the roads. Think about the schools. Think about the doctors. Think about the dentists. Just, this is not a rant about the state of the UK. It's just man's mismanagement of something, of anything. Whereas you look at what God has done through the gospel, through his beloved son. My friends, it's absolutely perfect. You look at it from any angle. In fact, if you look at him from any angle, and you find that he's absolutely perfect. We sang that hymn, didn't we, this morning, that he is absolutely perfect. I don't know whether you found it. There was a man called Darius. He was a king. We've read about his words tonight. It's disappointing when to read Daniel 6 and not get the juicy story of the lions. But we all know it, I'm sure. We've learnt it since we were at Sunday schools, and dads and mums taught it to us and read Bible stories to us. I think that includes everybody here. We all know the story of Daniel 6, of the lions, and the way that this king had men, 120 I think it was, set over the kingdom, 120 satraps who should be in all the kingdom and over these three presidents. So this king had got this decree, petition written, and he signed it, and it was basically set up, and Daniel was tricked, and Daniel didn't mind. He just carried on as business as usual, typical Daniel. His windows being open in his upper chamber towards Jerusalem, kneeled on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And these men obviously heard his prayer from outside. His window was open and he was praying, and they found him out and rumbled him. He was doing a good thing. I guess he was paying what was due to God, like we had in the reading. And so it is that Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And we know the story. I'm not going to do a big build-up. You know the story anyway. That God, or it says an angel, hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. And he says, because I believed in God. But this king comes to it and says these words. He says quite a bit, really. He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He saveth and delivereth. We read this on Zoom. Oh, I'm not a big fan of Zoom. But we read this in the week, Daniel 6. And it just caught me, those words. He saveth and delivereth. That's God's salvation. You see, you might be saved from something, but God delivers you from it. That's how wonderful God's plan of salvation is. There's deliverance. You know, there's the coming wrath, and there's those that have fled for refuge. They've gone from one state to another. It's Luke 15. That younger son, he was living, eating the food, wanting to eat the food that he was feeding to the swine. And he was destitute, and he was hopeless. He tried everything. His money had gone. Everything had gone. And it says that he came to himself. I don't know if you've done that. I always worry about Christian homes. It's a wonderful thing. It's an honour. It's a privilege. But there's also a danger that you can just hide along with dad and mum and just go to the meetings. You can listen to the gospel. You can hear the words. You can repeat them. But have you actually done them? Have you actually turned? That younger son in Luke 15, he came to himself. Somebody said sin is like a kind of madness. He came to himself. He realised what he was doing. We sang that hymn, from thy fruitless striving cease. Have you done that? Are you still pursuing pleasure in this old world? Still going your own way? Still quietly doing your own thing in your heart? Still not letting Jesus in? What does he say? He says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone here tonight, hear his voice. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Think of the width of a door. Think of it. How much is it? I'm not a carpenter. 1¾ inch or something they tell you, I don't know. Think of how much a door width is. He stands at the door and he's knocking. What a dull, boring sound it is. Is that why you open the door? I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Knocking at the heart. Tonight, friend, he's appealing to you. He's wanting to come in. He's standing outside and he wants in. Oh, friend, open your heart. What do you have to do? What did that jailer say? What must I do to be saved? Very often I used to, as a sort of a teenager, walk out the room and I think, well, what did I have to do? How do I do this? I know I need God, but what must I do? The jailer was like that. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, he saveth, and he delivereth. Isn't that God? How does he do it? This man, I don't know whether these words that he wrote, I think he absolutely believed that this living God, steadfast forever, I think he believed that he just witnessed an absolute miracle. He'd thrown this person into the lion's den and an angel would come and shut the lion's mouths and he was saved. But more than that, he was delivered. Friends, you know, Jesus, it speaks in Thessalonians chapter 1, our deliverer from the coming wrath. Friend, we read about it, didn't we? The weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Friend, where is your journey going to end? What about your eternity? Where will it be spent? You know the terms, you've heard it before. It's heaven or it's hell. Which one have you picked? Which one are you choosing? Where are you walking to? You might have life all wrapped up, you might have your plans made, but ultimately, where will you go? Jesus is offering you life eternal. He's offering you salvation. God has a plan. God realizes man has a need. It's not a mistake. Man has a need and God has the answer. And it's in one man, and he's called Jesus. And God has sent him. You think about that scripture, it says the cattle on a thousand hills are his. God could have provided an animal like they did in the offerings, a sacrifice, could have the perfect, if they were all God's, he could have given an animal as a sacrifice for your sin, but friend, it wouldn't have been enough, because God is righteous, and you know, you need to answer for your sins, and so what will you do about your sins? What will you do about the distance between you and your Creator? You owe him everything, absolutely everything. What are you going to do about it? Where do you turn? God has provided not an animal. He's provided his son. His very only begotten son. His treasure. His loved one. His only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who's he given him to? He's given him for you, friend. Think about that. It comes very personally, doesn't it? The gospel. He's given Jesus for you. And you know, the salvation plan of God is rather wonderful. Because Jesus took your place on that cross at Calvary. Jesus shed his precious blood for you. You know, it says the blood of Jesus cleanses. What does it say? The blood of Jesus cleanses me. Yeah, it does. It doesn't say that. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Us. Everyone in this room. Us. Every man and woman in the street in this little village. Everybody in Seven Oaks where I come from. Everybody in Matfield where I live in that little quintessentially beautiful English place. Everybody right across the world. China, Switzerland, America. How vast Australia, how vast this world is. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Think about that, friend. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious? That blood has been shed. John was a witness. God was a witness. You know when that destroying angel went over in Exodus 12, I think it is. What does it say? If I see anybody in the house that's worthy, I will not destroy. No. It says that if I see the blood, it's the blood that's vital. Friend, are you cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? It's been made available. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? It's been shed on Calvary's tree for you. Jesus bore your sins in his body. He was there in your place. And he bore them in his body on the tree. Oh, how he loves you. Think about the nails, think about the scorn, think about the shame, think about the spitting, think about the being set at naught, think about the darkness, think about the cold. John writes that it was cold. That's why they lit a fire to warm their hands, because it was cold. Where was Jesus? In the extremities. Was there any warmth, any love for him? Friends, you think about God who saveth and delivereth. What about his own son? Spared him not. Gave him. Spared him not. Think about that. Did he deliver him? Was there not a cry from the mouth of Jesus? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Absolute silence from heaven. Absolute silence. That's why there was silence. Because God turned his face away when Jesus was on that cross. He delivered, he saved, and he did deliver.
his son.
In fact, Jesus was delivered up into those, into the hands of those persons. Think of him, Paul. Think of him, the Lamb. Think of him, the King of Kings, being led as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, friend, it was for you. The silence in that moment was for you. As Jesus was made sin, and as the soldier pierced his side, and the blood of Jesus, was shed for you. Well, that's what God does. He saves and he delivers. I realise we've got to be out of here by 6 o'clock. I could carry on. I do love Jesus, and I hope you do too. He's a very special man who's done everything for you, provided a way, the only way of salvation, and so it can rightly say that God saved it and God delivered it. There's touches in Psalm 22 that speak of what Jesus went through for you, and there was nothing by way of comfort or help or relief of pain. There was nothing for him. Friends, there's somebody who's died for you, somebody who's shed his precious blood for you that you might go free, somebody who's taken the blame, taken the shame and the humiliation, taken it all away. Such is the salvation of God. He saves and he delivers, and it's only the blood of the Lamb that can save you. Well, put your faith, put your trust in him. I don't say it glibly, I mean it. I want everybody to do it. Maybe you say, well, I've done it years ago. Psalm 51, David, he was in trouble. He'd done a bad thing. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's not my salvation. Remember that. It's thy salvation. It's the work of Jesus. It's the work of God. It's the full redemption. Salvation of the soul, it says, is possible. But Jesus has paid the price. And friend, that blessed one who went into death and went onto the cross is alive. Again, we just say these words. But we came once from, when we were in Tunbridge Wells, we came once from a morning meeting, and it was sort of a bit brethren-y and quite tough at times. And it was Easter morning, and it was spectacularly tough that morning. And I'd gone hoping for a bit of resurrection life, a bit of joy, a few more hymns, because Jesus is alive. And we didn't get a thing. It was all very... And I went there in those days. We all know the Tunbridge Wells and the old Hill Street. You had to park the cars, there were streets away, there was no car park. There was a man walking from another church, and he's walking towards me, and he said, brother, have you come from the church? And I said, I have. And he put his arms around me and he said, Jesus is alive. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is alive, friend. You know, this Saviour, and that's how complete the salvation of God is. This Saviour that gave his life for you is living, and he's standing at the door, and he's knocking, and he wants entrance into your heart. If you've let him in, maybe clouds have gathered, and the joy of it is doomed, and it's big cloudy, like David here. You know, it's just a prayer. A prayer to God himself, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It should be a joy to us, shouldn't it? That Jesus is alive, that Jesus has died for me. It should be a joy that I'm saved. You know, you've got the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12. He comes, doesn't he? He comes to the same heart and he knocks and he accuses. Where do you meet him? You meet him with the blood of Jesus. Yes, my sins are all gone. You see that the work of Jesus, the salvation is absolutely perfect. And Satan will say, well, there's a question, there's a doubt about you. Maybe you haven't confessed enough. Maybe you haven't said sorry enough. Do you get those doubts? Am I really saved? I don't act like so-and-so. I don't behave like them. I fail. I mess up. Look at Peter. Didn't the devil come to him and say, Peter, you're a sham. Peter, you failed. There was that fence up, wasn't there? Peter, you said bad words. You're not saved. Peter, you denied Jesus. Big brick wall. There's no way you're saved. Do you know, there's an accuser of the brethren. But there's also an advocate. And his name is Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Satan has demanded to have you. But I besought for thee that thy faith might not fail. If there's anyone here with a little niggle in doubt about their salvation, put your faith and your trust in Jesus again. If there's a cloud, ask God to restore the joy of his salvation in your heart. Let it thrill you over again that Jesus has died for you and he lives for you. And his precious blood has been shed for you. Friend, it ought to thrill us. And we ought to be willing and keen to tell others about our full salvation. Well, I'll finish with a little personal story. My mum wasn't well in the early part of this year, and they wanted a hospital bed, and she was clearly dying, and they just wanted her out of the hospital, and we had to find a home for her for the last few weeks of her life, and we searched. And again, another state of the UK, try and find a home for a little old lady who's dying. It doesn't matter if it's your mother. But it didn't seem to affect or touch the hearts of anybody. It was just a space in a home for a little old lady. At times I thought nobody cared. It seemed like that. I kind of went over the what she'd be to me as a mother. The things she taught me, Jesus loves me, this I know. And we searched, and we couldn't find a home. And she died in hospital. Pretty broken. God's salvation is wonderful and full, and he took her to the best home. Her faith was in Jesus, that she was in a home that's the best. It's where Jesus lives. Friends, your life, your journey, where is it going? Jesus prepared you a place. You must accept him to be able to go there. She did. I rejoice in that, but she did. And that's where she is. Far better home than one on earth. The best care. Jesus came and he took her. And so it is with anyone who dies in Christ. They're taken to be with him. He comes to that place. He came to that hospital and he took her to his home. That's faith, and it's a belief that we have because Jesus has said so. Take him at his word. He loves you, and he wants you to love him. That's all.